Please repeat after me. Shingvatam. Those who have developed the urge to hear the message of Svakataha,
his own words,
Krishnaha, the personality of Godhead, Punya, virtues, Shravana, hearing, Kirtanaha, chanting, Hridiyantahasta, within one's heart, he, certainly, Abhadrani, desire to enjoy matter, Vidudnoti, cleanses, Surit, benefactor, Satam, of the truthful. Translation. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. And I'll read the translation for the next verse also. The Sanskrit and translation. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityang bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Please repeat after me. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Messages of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, are non-different from him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which are powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtaka declares clearly that the holy names of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has empowered his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound, but unfortunately we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. Material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path of Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional life fell victim to these allurements and thus retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment, because every living being is associated with such things from time immemorial, and it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances, and gradually all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. In the purport to the next verse. Here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is association of the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas, namely the book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata. Both of the Bhagavatas are competent remedies. Both of them, or either of them, can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. The devotee Bhagavata is as good as the book Bhagavata because the devotee Bhagavata leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavata, and the book Bhagavata is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavatas. Bhagavata book and person are identical. The devotee Bhagavata is a direct representation of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavata, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavata. Human reason fails to understand how by serving the devotee Bhagavata or the book Bhagavata, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually, these are facts explained by Srila Narada Dev, who happened to be a maidservant's son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus he also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuffs left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become a great devotee and personality, Srila Naradev. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavatas. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavatas, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavatas, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavata therefore have to be received from the devotee Bhagavata. And the combination of these two Bhagavatas will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. First rule, everybody please put your phone on silent mode or turn it off. Or they have to pay 100 rupee fine to the BBT. Starting with him. He works in the BBT, so. But you don't know if he paid the fine or not, you know. When the fish is in the water, you can't see him drink. Om namo Om agyanati marandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance of my spiritual master. Open my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So, says here that that there's no difference between the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. But how can someone become a person Bhagavatam unless they've actually read the Bhagavatam? Right? How will you know? It says here that is as good as the book because a devotee Bhagavat leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavata. And the book Bhagavata is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees who are also Bhagavata. So, therefore, it stands to reason that if we are to become book Bhagavatas, we have to read the Bhagavatam. Right? In case you didn't know it, we are starting a new program here, a new initiative called the Bhakti Vedanta Book Club. That's what this whole objective of this class is, to get everybody to read. Everybody wants to become a Bhagavata, right? Anybody in this class, in this room, who doesn't want to become a Bhagavata? Please raise your hand. Okay, that's good. Now we are on the right platform. Everybody wants to become a Bhagavata. So therefore, the first rule is you have to read the Bhagavatam. Right? That this is, makes sense. It's logical. It's not. We're not talking about anything mystical here. So, the first point is you cannot become a Bhagavatam unless you actually study the Bhagavatam. So we're going to be encouraging you in this class and hopefully other seminars that we should all be reading as much as possible daily, no matter how many obstacles you might have, you know, whatever difficulties all of us are, you know, they all have to work, we have families, so many things are there. But still, we find time to eat, we find time to sleep, so we have to find time to read and to chant and to listen. Otherwise, we'll still be around next lifetime. It was so great this time that we want to come back again, right? And again, and again, and again. It takes a long time. As it says, Lord Chaitanya, he says, after wandering through many Brahmandas, that fortunate soul meets a spiritual master. So Brahmanda is one lifetime of Lord Brahma, 311 trillion and 40 billion years. So 100 lifetimes is 10,000 years. So how many, he's our mathematician. So how many, on the average of 100, so I guess we just divide 311 trillion and 40 billion by 100, and that will give you an idea of how many lifetimes. What is that number exactly? It's a very large number. That's just for one life of Brahma, going from one to the next. That's what happens if we don't become a Bhagavata. So there's some incentive. So the advantage, of course, is that, as I say, that it's not just some austerity. Of course, it is an austerity. It is an austerity to read Shastra. Because as it says in the Gita, reading Shastra is tapasya of speech. In 17:15, it's tapasya. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priya hitam chayat svadhyaya vyasanam chaiva van man mayam tapa uchyate. Austerity of speech consists of speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. So if you're regularly reciting, if you're reading Bhagavatam, you're reciting internally, but also you can recite it out loud. This is tapasya. So, we're performing tapasya. Tapasya is always beneficial. But by reading, because the Bhagavatam is none different than Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Shastras, specifically the ones specifically dealing with Krishna and his avatars like Ramayana, these are directly Krishna. There's no difference. There's no difference. Back when I was just a very new devotee, extremely new, I hadn't even come to the temple, I'd never been in the temple before, but I had Bhagavad Gita. So, I used to offer my bhoga to the Bhagavad Gita. Because it says Krishna is not different. So, this is as good as Krishna. And everybody who ate that bhoga, it was prasada. So, if you are somewhere and you haven't got any pictures, you can always offer to the Bhagavad Gita or to any Shastra. You can offer your bhoga to the Shastra because it is directly Krishna. And more than Krishna, not alone. So many associates are there. The other Bhagavatas are there. So by reading, we get direct association. And it has a very purifying effect. What is the purifying effect? In the verses, it cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the hearts of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. And by regularly, hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service is established. So what does it mean, almost completely destroyed, is that it destroys all our arabdha karma. Means all, we're not even aware of it. But the karma is divided into two categories: Sanchinta karma and Kriyamana karma. Sanchinta karma is all our past karmas that we have. And Kriyamana karma means newly created karmas. Everything is not from the past. It always, sometimes, people come to me, oh, I met this girl, and it's like true love. It's like from a past lifetime. Well, what about in the past lifetime? You probably were thinking the same way that way. So if it's always from the past, then this creates the fallacy of the infinite regress. That things never started for the first time, in other words. But that's not true. Kriyamana karma means newly created karma. You can create new karmas. This Sanchinta karma is divided into two types: Arabdha and Prarabdha. If you suppose you were to go down to the Bay of Bengal, to Chennai, there's a huge ocean there, and you stick in a glass of water and you pull out one glass. That would be the Prarabdha karma. Come to the Prarabdha karma, and the rest is the Arabdha karma. It's laying in potential. But the Prarabdha karma has already been put into action. If you want proof, look in the mirror. That's Prarabdha karma. This is Prarabdha karma. Arabdha karma is what gets immediately destroyed. By performing any devotional service, that all gets destroyed. Just as wood is turned into ash by the action of fire, it says in the Gita. But the Prarabdha karma doesn't get destroyed. Because if it did, well, you'd die. Immediately fall. Your body would immediately fall off. So Krishna is a very practical person. It's described in the Vedanta Sutra that Prarabdha karma isn't destroyed. Otherwise, as soon as a person achieves the Brahma Vidya, their body would fall off and there would be nobody left to teach Brahma Vidya. And as soon as you go into the Yajna Shala to have your Diksha and everybody drops dead, it probably would not be too many people, eager to get Diksha, because all the people are, dead, because their Prarabdha karma was destroyed. So Prarabdha karma is not destroyed. But so many things are destroyed except the Prarabdha karma. Then the rest is destroyed by constant controlling your mind. There are so many other factors. We're not going to get into that. Because then is the concept of Jivan Mukta. Somebody has a body. By the way, that's a whole other discussion. another seminar called Faith, Free Will, and the Law of Karma. We won't. That's a whole other topic. Take a couple hours. It's on the agenda some other time. So when all that other rabda karma is destroyed, then a huge burden has been lifted off of us, and we can, we can now get established in loving service of the personality of Godhead. And sometimes people say, "Oh, Prabhu, I have to do service. Like, I haven't got any time to read." Right? You ever heard that before? "I haven't got time to read. I have to do service." I remember when I was just a new devotee, I was in Hyderabad. And I was the head cook. And my assistant cook, he was older than me, my older god brother. So even though I had very little time in the day, extremely little, I started cooking at 6 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock in the evening. And I had to go boga shopping every day also. But I had a 2-hour break between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, when if I was not unconscious, I would, because about every third day I would be unconscious, because that was a very grueling schedule. I would read. And that was like, so that means by the time I went to Mayapur on the anniversary of my first initiation, I had read up to the third canto. Now, I've talked to some devotees who've been devotees for 16 years, and they have not yet got to the third canto, because they haven't got time, because they're doing service, right? So this senior god brother was mine was saying, "I haven't got time to read. I'm doing service." Well, I said, "You should read, otherwise you'll forget why you're doing service." And reading itself, I guess he actually got in trouble after, but reading itself is service, because what is the 9 process of devotional service? What are the first? Shravanam, Kirtanam. So if you read, that's you're mentally reciting in your mind. And then you're hearing. This is directly devotional service of the highest order. Simply by hearing, who achieve liberation? Who achieve perfection of life? Parikshit. Not, it doesn't say by scrubbing pots, by hearing. We do have to scrub pots, otherwise, because the kitchen is an extension of the altar. That would be a save apparat not to clean the pots. But we need to do this. Read. It is directly devotional service. And as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 18:71, he says, Adyeshyati Chaya Imam Dharmyam Samvadanam Samvadam Avyayo Jnana Yagnina Teneham Ishta Syam Iti Me Matihi. What does he say? "And I declare that he who studies the sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence." So by studying, by reading, is you are worshipping Krishna with your intelligence. You don't have to get a clean dhoti. You don't have to, of course, if you do, if you take a bath, put on tilak, put on a clean dhoti before you read, that's even better. But simply by, whenever you are, you can, on your iPhone or on your, you have, some people I know they have the books on their phone, You're worshipping Krishna with your intelligence by reading Gita, reading Bhagavatam, reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is direct service. Anybody can do, initiated or not initiated. It's a must. And it really is a must. Here is what Srila Prabhupada said. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 25, purport to verse 278. "All the devotees connected with the Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books that have been translated, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and others. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down from their position. Thus, they will miss the opportunity to attain an eternal, blissful life of transcendental pleasure." Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's the animal life. So it's not optional. It's a direct order. It's a serving the guru. It says, by serving the pure service of the pure devotee. Here's a direct order of Srila Prabhupada. Read the books. That's service to Srila Prabhupada. Right? So he wants, so by serving the Bhagavata, we achieve so many results. So service means to following the order. In fact, if you don't follow the order, what is it? Third offense against the holy name is to disobey the spirit, the order of the spiritual master, or minimize his instructions. This is a direct instruction, direct order, unambiguous. I'll read it again in case somebody didn't hear that. We'll post it also. All the devotees connected with the Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books that have been translated. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down from their position. Have we seen anybody fall? Unless, if you haven't seen anybody fall, it means you haven't been in the movement long enough. But you'll see. Just stay long enough and you'll see people fall. Thus, they will miss the opportunity to attain an eternal blissful life of transcendental pleasure. I can assure you that if you actually perform Krishna consciousness, it actually works. We have a tendency to get distracted, to do so many other things, to get, you know, that's just Maya's job, is to distract us. But if we do it, as I call it, rediscovering Krishna consciousness. You know, remember when I first was a devotee, even sleeping, I'd be like chanting in my sleep. I was so excited, you know, chanting. Who's doing that now? I know, you know, because I got deviated. I just have to get, you know, chairs for my flat, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. And, you know, but if you actually refocus yourself on your core mission, just like I remember a few years ago. What was that? You can't hear me. That's better? Okay. Push it closer. Remember some years ago, I think it was a Goodyear Tire Corporation. They had gotten so many, they put their capital, they had bought so many companies that, you know, so many different entities that were under their control. So then their business started going down because they were distracted. They had, you know, coffee companies and this and that. What has that to do with tires? So they just divested themselves of all these extraneous companies and went back to their core business. They went back to their core and became very successful. You still see your tires on your car are probably, have a good chance there could be Goodyear tires from the Goodyear Tire Company, because they stuck to their core business, tires. So we have our core business, you know, reading and hearing about Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're all in a line. Huh? The last verse, the last instruction of the Gita neatly ties in with the first instruction of the Bhagavatam. And though we haven't got it here, the last verse of the Bhagavatam is a direct continuation into the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it describes about the benefits of the Sankirtan of the holy name of Krishna, which is directly tying into Lord Chaitanya's movement. Also, by reading Shastras, we achieve so much knowledge, right? About why, because sometimes we do a lot of things that we don't know. We just do them, it becomes empty rituals. We don't know why, you know. It was in July, my wife and I were interviewed on channel, I think it was, what was it? I can't remember what TV station it was. But the whole argument was, should there be rituals in marriage? Like they shouldn't be Mangal Sutra, they shouldn't do this, that, the other thing. Because this just become an empty ritual. Why? Because they don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. They say, we don't need these things, we can just sign a piece of paper and just go. They don't understand. So my response was, well, before we talk about the need or not need for rituals, we should discuss about what is the purpose of marriage. And the purpose of marriage is described in the Shastras. It's, you know, to how to live in this world with the objective of leaving the world. So to live in this world, we have so many, you know, basic biological needs like eating, sex. So how to satisfy these things in such a way that we don't get more involved in samsara? So there's samskaras, vivaha samskara. So this way, the point being is that if we have the knowledge, then we'll know why what we're doing. It's not just an empty ritual that people now want to just, you know, dust off. We don't need that. But for that may be okay for animals, but it's, you know, the dvipada pashas. But for human beings who are interested in leaving the material world, then this knowledge is required. Then these rituals are. That's how we responded. Because why? We read the books. We knew how to respond. They are arguing, oh, you should have a ritual, not ritual. The point being is, what's the basis of the whole thing in the first place? That only comes if you've read Shastra. Why do it in the first place? Why even get married? Right? So that comes from... So knowledge. All this knowledge is there in Shastra. And of course, knowledge leads to detachment and devotion. Sometimes I've had, you know, deal with clients. There's so much... often it's because they're attached to some position or some member of the opposite sex. Often that's it. So because they become so attached, they're suffering because they haven't got knowledge. But with knowledge, you can develop that detachment. With that, we can cut through with the sword of knowledge. Krishna explains in the Gita. Oh, I mean, also about that. Meaningless. The meaning of why we do so. For example, I was one time I was in Srirangam, and the, you know, do you ever wonder why when there's a homa or some sacrifice they take the mango leaves, right? They put mango leaves on top of the kumbhas, put the coconut, there's water, and there's also kusha grass. So why do they do that? Do you know why? Nobody knows why. They just. Because we've always done it that way, and you know, it just becomes a mindless ritual, right? So I asked one of the students of my friend Muridhar Bhattar in Srirangam, so what is the purpose of putting these mango leaves there? And immediately quoted from the Yajurveda that the kusha grass and the mango leaves act as a conduit for the mantras to enter into the water. It's like an electrical cable, like an electrical wire. So it acts as a conduit. The mantras enter into the kusha grass, into the mango leaves, then enters into the water. That's why they then sprinkle the water all over you. That's the reason. Not just because mango leaves are nice decorative, you know. There's a reason. But unless you study, you just think it's, well, I don't know why they do that. And then people, then you get somebody, who is that guy? That Muslim man who's always trying to... Zakir Nayak, right? That's it? Yeah, right. So he pulls people up on stage and then he embarrasses them by asking them questions that they can't answer because they don't know. Isn't it? That's what he does. Because they don't know. But when he tried it with ISKCON devotees, when he had some of his people come, then they didn't want to meet again. Because those devotees had actually read. They didn't want to have a second meeting with us. But... you know, so everybody should be in that position that when somebody challenges them, they can defeat them. Now, those devotees that actually read the Bhagavatam, they had actually studied, so they could defeat Mr. Nayak. But others, they just didn't know what to say. Even this, who is this, the Art of Living? He was completely humiliated. Ravi Shankar was completely humiliated by this Dr. Nayak because he didn't have the answers, didn't know. The reason we're in the material world is because we're insane. Right? It's insanity. We think we're Krishna. We want to enjoy it. So by reading Shastras, by reading Bhagavatam, it restores our sanity because it gives us the actual tattva. Who is Krishna? You know, by the whole Bhagavatam, the whole first 9 cantos establishes in your consciousness who Krishna is. What is the relationships of everything? That, and then we can know who is, what is God, what is our relationship with Him, what is the goal, what is the methodology, what is the goal. So all these tattvas are established, which slowly cure us of our insanity, because we are very sick. It could take a long time. Depends on how much you read, how often you read. Could take longer or could take a lot faster. Like Bhaktisiddhanta, he read the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita 108 times. That means as soon as he finished the 12th canto, he was starting the first canto again. Yeah. But unless we understand what is the truth, how will we figure things out? If we're confused. That's why you have this sahaja, there's so many different deviations, because they haven't got all the pieces in all the puzzles. Maya body, So tattva, it's all explained. And of course, it will increase our faith. It will increase our faith. Because when we start practicing these things, then we'll see reciprocation, as it's explained. A reciprocation begins to take place between Krishna and his devotees. And as I've told the story on more than one occasion, how increased the faith of Srila Prabhupada by reading the Bhagavatam. One time in Mayapur, he heard Bhaktisiddhanta give what was to him a very controversial instruction. There was some cobra, chandavara, some poisonous snake was there. So Bhaktisiddhanta said, "Kill the snake." Now this had created a doubt in the mind of Srila Prabhupada, because he's thinking, "Well, how a saintly person can order that a snake, another living entity, be killed? Sadhu should be very merciful, kind to everybody. Typical stereotypical understanding of what sadhus are, they have this idiotic smile on their face, like some people we see." So he had this doubt. Now, if you have doubt in your guru, are you able to follow his instructions, especially very difficult instructions? Like Bhaktisiddhanta gave him the instruction to go preach in the West. Such great difficulties. But because Srila Prabhupada constantly read, if you read, you can see from his writings, Prabhupada, for example, he read all the five commentaries on Vedanta Sutra in Sanskrit, in Shankara's commentary. Actually, he read all six commentaries. Shankara's commentary, Nimbarka's commentary, Vishnu's, Swami's commentary, Ramanuja's commentary, Madhva's commentary, and Balavidyabhushan's commentary, all in Sanskrit. He knew everything. But when he came to the seventh canto, when Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Narsingadev, Prahlad Maharaj states that even the saints, the sadhus, are happy when snakes or scorpions are killed. So then Prabhupada's doubt was removed and his faith was in his guru was increased. So the faith, your trust, faith simply another word for meaning trust. We put trust in Krishna, we put trust in God, we put trust in the guru, as long as the guru is following. Actually, Prabhupada said, "Don't trust me, put your faith in Krishna." Prabhupada said, don't put your faith, "I might fall," he said, "but put your faith in Krishna," he said. And what to speak of, if you read Shastra, it increases your capacity to preach. Just like those devotees, what was that, Lakshmi Nisringa? Was that what Lakshmi Nisringa does? They were preaching, they were dealing with these followers of Zakir Nayak. Because they read, they were able to preach. And just think how much more you'll be able to preach to somebody if the greater your knowledge becomes. My wife was telling me about how one of my godbrothers, Krishna Kshetra, his criteria for first initiation, accepting a disciple first initiation, they've had to have read all of the Bhagavatam first, before they get first. Second initiation, they have to read all the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is that correct? Okay. So, one of his aspiring disciples was not at all an avid reader. He was like, you know, basically he was like a workman, handwork with his hands. He hated reading. But he wanted to get initiated. So he read everything. And after that, he was able to give Bhagavatam classes. Here's a person, last person you think in your mind would give. But he, because he knew so much, he had no problem sitting down giving a class. Whereas I've known devotees, you know, who've been devotees for 10, 15 years, they would be horrified to give a class because they don't know. They don't know what they're going to say because they haven't read anything. The three most greatest fears that people have are fear of drowning, fear of being burnt to death, fear of public speaking. And that, not necessarily in that order, it's one of the top three fears: drowning, burning, and speaking. Mostly because they don't know what they're going to say. They don't know what they're going to say because they haven't studied. Now, if you study, you organize your thoughts, then Krishna is in your heart. He will inspire you. I exist in the hearts of all the living entities. From me comes knowledge, forgetfulness, and remembrance. In fact, you remember that before you give a class, that please Krishna, inspire me. And one of the most serious things is that, you know, we didn't just join ISKCON as a social club. So some people might think that's what it is. Actually, and I didn't even know what ISKCON was. I surrendered to my Guru Maharaj. After reading Bhagavad Gita, I surrendered to him. So, when we get initiated, we don't get initiated into ISKCON. We don't say, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya ISKCON. You know, we don't say that. There's a person is there. A person's name, you know. It doesn't say, you know, nowhere in those Guru Pranam mantras is the word ISKCON mentioned, that the ISKCON is though who's initiating us. We're not initiated into ISKCON. We're initiated into the Guru Parampara. Sampradaya, as Krishna explains in the fourth chapter, verse 2 of the Gita, that, you know, Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajarsyo Vidu, that it is through the Guru Parampara. So members of the Guru Parampara created ISKCON and the function of ISKCON is to serve the purpose of the Guru Parampara. So we are, if you are initiated or intending to get initiated, not into ISKCON, because ISKCON, the same thing that happened to Gaudiya Math could happen to ISKCON. Institutions come and go. But it's the Parampara, the Sampradaya, that's what counts. So to be a strong link in the Guru Parampara, what is the purpose of the Guru Parampara? To transmit the knowledge in an unbroken form. So how will you be serving that function if you don't have knowledge? What will you be sending to the next link? Huh? If you don't know, what will you be sending? The duty of a disciple is to preserve the knowledge and to deliver it to the next generation. That is only possible if you have the knowledge to give. Not that you can depend on ISKCON or George or somebody else to do it for you. You have to do it. That is your responsibility. That is all of our... That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. It's all our responsibility. Otherwise, it gets broken. That's what Krishna says, huh? In due course of time, it was broken. So now you have to decide. Are you going to be a broken link or a strong link? Strong link means you have to have the knowledge to deliver to your capacity. You know, everybody's got the capacity. Not everybody is a genius. They can... Like Srila Prabhupada described about my other god brother's daughter, Saraswati. At her level, she said, Krishna is God, you accept him. That's all she knew. She's 5 years old. But we expect more of somebody who's 50, you know, than five. Should He said that you should be doing something in between that time. You should be reading, assimilating the knowledge, understanding it, analyzing it, studying it. And then you can properly give it to others. When you hear Prabhupada's lectures, he had studied, assimilated it. You know, read the books, become the books, and you distribute the books. Become a book Bhagavatam. You are representing the whole situation. So this idea of this concept, this important point of, as members of the Guru Parampara, it is our duty to master this subject. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, if you read this very vital book, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav, he got one pandit from the Madhva Sampradaya and one pandit from the Ramanuja Sampradaya. He brought them to Sri Damayapur. They stayed for 2 years to teach his disciples Vedanta. He wanted that they should be scholarly. They should know this subject. Bhakti Siddhanta, when he was in Puri, he studied Advaita Vad so intently that they thought he was becoming an Advaitist. Why? So that he could defeat Advaita. He knew Advaita Vad in and out, backwards and for upside down, you know, inside out, top to bottom, so that he could thoroughly smash Advaita Vad. And he did the same thing. He had these disciples of the other sampradayas come, and they taught the teachings, you know, of Vishishta Advaita, Advaita Vad, how to attack, destroy, demolish Advaita Vad, and also the principles of bhakti. The point being is knowledge. Know your subject. You know, this is our subject. We should know it. It's not just all sentimentality. It's all like, you know, some devotees just want to read the nectar parts, right? Just want to read the juicy parts. But bhakti is not sentimentality. Right? There's danger of just reading the nectar. Sentimentality is not bhakti. Here's two quotes from Srila Prabhupada. So Bhagavad begins with the word of Vedanta Sutra. Janmadi asya yataha anvayat itarascha tarteshu abhijna swarat. So that is the, in the beginning, Srimad Bhagavatam is the explanation of the Vedanta Sutra. Srila Jiva Goswami has recommended, therefore, one should learn Bhagavatam from a person who knows Vedanta Sutra. Sruti grihittaya, bhaktya sruti grihittaya. Bhakti should be generated, sruti grihittaya, by studying Vedanta Sutra. Bhakti is not sentiment. Bhakti is the transcendental science. That was Mayapur. That was in a class on Srimad Bhagavatam 110.1 in Mayapur, June 16, 1973. Then in a class on Srimad Bhagavatam 1212 in New Delhi, November 18, 1873, Prabhupada says, Seva means there is Sevaka and there is a master, Sevaya. Sevaya, who is worshipped and one who serves. The process is called bhakti. Here it is also said bhaktya. What kind of bhakti? Bhaktya shruta grihittaya. Shruta, by hearing, shruti, or Vedas. Completely on the basis of Vedic knowledge, that bhakti, not sentimental. Sentimental bhakti is also there because the acceptance of Krishna is there. Therefore, there is some value. But real bhakti, we're interested in real bhakti? We want real bhakti, correct? I hope so. Srila Jiva Goswami has commented that real bhakti based on understanding of Vedanta Sutra is perfect. On the basis of jnana, knowledge and vairagya, that is. And Krishna has also said, Brahma Sutra Padaischaiva Hetur Madhir Vinishchitai. Bhagavad Gita 13.5. Brahma Sutra means Vedanta Sutra. So even Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita, is based upon the Brahma Sutras, the Vedanta Sutras. So sometimes, you know, some people, they just like to tell stories or this that make people feel good. But then when it comes to understanding what we should be doing, they have no idea because it goes against their sentiment. They, you know, what is the real tattva? That only comes by separating between bhakti and sentimentality. Now, of course, now reading and chanting, they go together. You know, chanting japa and chanting has a synergistic effect. Synergistic means that the doing them both together is greater than the sum total of them. I remember when I was just a new devotee, very, very, I couldn't even say I was a devotee yet. I was just got the Bhagavad Gita. Just got it for the first time. I was living like 500 kilometers from the nearest temple, alone, nobody is there. So I was reading the Gita continuously. And it was very difficult. And I had been a student of pure mathematics. I had to read a paragraph over like a dozen times and still couldn't quite understand what was, you know, it was like very dull. But then I noticed that I was eager to read. I was, you know, I don't know how I didn't get killed. I was walking, I would walk down the street with the Bhagavad Gita in hand, reading it, even crossing the street, reading the Bhagavad Gita. Because I wouldn't try that in Bangalore, I'd probably get killed. But at least you can do that in the West, you know. And I was continuously reading it. I would read it, and when I go to bed, put it under my pillow. As soon as I wake up, I start reading again. Continuously. So, and of course, I finally came to some place where the Maha Mantra was mentioned. And Brahma said, you should chant this mantra. So I began chanting it. And I found that by chanting, it made the understanding of the Gita a lot easier. And of course, by reading, we become motivated to chant more. So they both supplement each other. By reading, we get inspired to chant. By chanting, we understand what we just read. I read the whole, just one paragraph and I didn't understand. I read it over again and over and over. It didn't go through. And I was here I was a scholar, had a scholarship in pure mathematics, and it didn't, nothing was registering. Now, some people might think that, you know, this is going to be really hard work and it's going to be very dry and you're not going to get anything out of it. But there's actually a lot of benefits to reading. I'm going to read to you some letters from one devotee in North India. He contacted me July 24th of last year. And I won't mention his name. He lives somewhere, I think, in Chandigarh or someplace like that. Now, he contacted me July 24th of last year. His whole objective was he wanted me to teach him astrology. I told him that I would not even consider him as a student unless he had read all of Prabhupada's books and heard all of Prabhupada's lectures. That's the prerequisite. Then I might consider. That doesn't mean I was a guarantee that I was gonna, that's only the prerequisite. But he was very, very eager to become a student of astrology. You know. So, and the thing is, he's not in exactly an ideal situation. His parents are not devotees. He lives with his parents. They're not devotees. In fact, he had a lot of very serious arguments with his father. His wife's not at the time she wasn't a devotee. His wife wasn't a devotee. It's like about 18 months ago. But his wife subsequently has become a devotee. So, in August of last year, he wrote, and he'd only been reading for what? A month. After 1 month, he writes, due to your mercy, I am convinced to read the literature of Srila Prabhupada. Right now, it is 1:10 a.m. and I'm still reading Adi Lila, first chapter. I have no sleep in my eyes. Taste has developed to read as fast as I can. I am a really changed person in the past 30 days. After only 30 days. Not 30 years. 30 days only. I desire that there must be more hours in today's night so that I can study all of Srila Prabhupada's literature today itself. So Prabhuji, is it okay to be crazy like this? He's feeling so ecstatic. He's feeling like he's going crazy. Then, October 11th, last year, October 11th this year, he tells me some good news to share. Following your advice of remaining calm despite testing situations, atmosphere has changed for the good at home. His father has started talking nicely to me for the first time in many years. Why? Now why? Why was that? I told him that he had read 7th canto. You should just be like Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, though totally at odds with Hiranyakashipu, was never disrespectful. He always respected his father. Never agreed with him, but always respected him. So, because he had read that, he followed that and made a big difference. Now his father stopped yelling at him because he was, became humble from following the example of Prahlad Maharaj. But if you didn't know who Prahlad Maharaj was, how could you follow his example? Right? As per his wife, she was bedridden because she was pregnant and she had a certain type of pregnancy that required her to be bedridden. But now, before she wasn't a devotee, but now she's become a devotee. She's chanting, she's reading, like that. And he hasn't been able to go to the temple for the last few months. So his question was, does it mean that devotion associated with devotees in the temples will create problems in his devotion? I said no, because if you're associating with the devotees in the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni, Vidura, Maitreya, Arjuna, Yudhisthira, so many great devotees are in the Bhagavatam, you associate with them, then that will supplement your inability to go to the temple. And he says, in spite of the most challenging conditions at home and at office, that means he's having great difficulty, most challenging. This daily reading, chanting, and hearing is possible for me and my pregnant wife. Thank you. So in the last 444 days, see, every on the 11th of every month, he sends me in a report of what he's been reading and listening to. So October 11th was 444 days. So up to this time, he's read the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Madhya Lila, and now he's in the Antya Lila. Simultaneously, he's up in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto, Chapter 65. And despite extreme time limits, I've been able to hear 857 of Srila Prabhupada's lectures. 54 lectures this last month. So now I asked him his experiences as a result of reading. So then he wrote, this is February the 11th of 2011, he wrote, by your mercy, following positives have come in the last 200 days. He writes, most wonderful thing that has made a big difference is that now I am more aware of what to do and what not to do. Right? Isn't that in the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says, my devotees know what is to be done and what is not to be done. As opposed to the demons who don't know what to do or what should not. Also, I feel very happy at most of the times. Right? Even in midst of most challenges in life, I feel relaxed and confident. This is a guy who lives at a home where his father is yelling and screaming at him. Devotional dreams come, especially about how one day Srila Prabhupada came first time in my dream. So he's getting dreams of Srila Prabhupada and devotees. And he had a difficult economic situation. He's trying to figure out, that's why he wanted to become an astrologer. So to my surprise, so many ideas to do various businesses to earn money come in my mind. So Krishna is providing him solution for his material economic problems also. I feel that I am most fortunate to have the good association of Bhagavatam. So I also feel that most of the people in the world missing such positive experiences like me. He feels that they're unfortunate because they're not having the positive experiences he's having because of reading Bhagavatam and hearing Prabhupada lectures. Also, the first time my Bhagavad Gita distribution score crossed 100 in the marathon, he was able to distribute more books. I even got a promotion just by confidence in the interview, because he was so confident in his interview, he got a promotion. After reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, after reading and hearing Srila Prabhupada, my many astrological predictions have started coming correct. I feel Srimad Bhagavatam is remedy for many of my astrological clients. I feel some special protective shield. And he says, and in big capitals, all this never happened before. By your mercy, I am a changed person now. Well, it's not my mercy, it's Bhagavatam's mercy. May everyone in the universe have such mercy and association. He's saying about his effect. And now she's got, his wife is also reading, and she's attending Thursday classes at ISKCON Temple every week. And then in May he wrote, Before reading and hearing, my intense desire was to somehow or other take astrology lessons from you and start my career in astrology. And on the very first day, you gave me first guidance that as a student to see horoscope. Okay. You gave nice exam. Okay. Da, 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 da. Okay. Next, you guided me to read Prabhupada's books. Okay. My first day of reading and hearing was July 24, 2010. The difference between first day and today, this is writing after 291 days. I feel very happy, like I have achieved a priceless jackpot. I wait for a month or so to tell you about progress in reading and hearing on the 11th of every month. Devotees dominate my dreams on many nights. Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, also gives special appearance in dreams. My happiness and confidence is sometimes overflowing. Faith on such a powerful tool of association increased many times. Many times I feel like I'm having positive feelings the whole day. And what he's happiest about is his wife started progressing in Krishna consciousness. We went on the yacht of South India. She regularly hearing and chanting in temple classes. Last but not least, just by reading Prabhupada's books, his Sanskrit improved. Further, by your mercy, I can feel the presence of Srila Prabhupada in my daily life. He feels Prabhupada's presence in his daily life. Because he's not just reading, he's also listening to the lectures. So many room conversations with big people increase my faith in philosophy. Further detailed lectures besides already existing purports appears like an ocean of knowledge. I am trying to take only a few sips. When I read Chaitanya Charitamrita, I feel some presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and other devotees. Now if I miss a lecture or reading on a particular day, I feel as if something very big is missing in my life. Please bless me that I may have that feeling for the whole of my life. Actually, from reading, when I get his lectures, I feel inspired to read and hear more myself, you know. So, this is it. If we want to start a program here. Where is Madhusudan Hari? Where are you? Okay. You want to start a program called the Bhakti Vedanta Book Club, getting devotees to read. I was told, I can't remember who told me, that in the last Vyasa Puja celebration for Japataka Swami, was in Mayapur. So approximately 500 of his disciples came from all over the world. That means the most, how many disciples does he have? 15,000? Huh? More than that. 20,000. Some unlimited number of his disciples came. He has. But a small, 500 of the top ones, the stormtroopers came. And I was told, he asked how many of them had read all of Prabhupada's books. And hardly half a dozen hands went up. And he cried. I heard he cried that he was very distressed that they're not reading Prabhupada's books. The whole purpose is to read Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, what is the point? How are we fulfilling the imperative of being a disciple to continue the parampara? No, we are the link, the present link. Who comes after us? We have to have that knowledge. What if Prabhupada, if he hadn't read the books, how could he have taught us anything? How will he be able to teach anybody anything? So he was upset that so few of his disciples had actually read all of his books. What's the point having so many disciples if they're not reading? So we want not just Jayapataka Swami's disciples, but everybody, myself included, to read on a daily basis. So this Bhaktivedanta Book Club will be, the more news will come out, through Mother Sudan Hari, to get everybody reading every day. And also listening lectures of Srila Prabhupada daily, so that we also can feel crazy. It's okay. This kind of craziness is okay. This is the kind of craziness we want. That even though, because we, after reading a couple hours, even though the most difficult situation may have happened to us, we feel undisturbed. Not that we're, spaced out, but we're not shaken by it. That's what it says. That's what it says in the Bhagavad Gita in 6:23, that even one may be in the most difficult circumstances, he's not shaken. You're not shaken. You're cool under fire. Right? That's the test. Somebody may go to the military academy, but when the bullets start flying, then you have to see if they're cool. The person is cool under heavy fire. If you just run away or you pass stool and urine, it's not very good. You have to be cool under fire and be able to know how to react in the situation. So similarly, by continuously reading and studying and hearing, then we'll be cool under the fire of the material energy. Because why? Because we're in the fire of devotional service. So Madhusudan Hari, you going to come up here? So who wants to join the Bhaktivedanta Book Club? Please raise your hand. Only so few. Oh, okay, this will be a short list. On the ladies' side? Okay, so those persons who are interested, please, what should they do? Now from this point on, they should come.
First of all, I think I'm not sure if everybody's understood what we're getting into.
Okay, you tell. Speak in the mic. No.
Haribol, if everybody's heard the class, I'm sure everybody's heard the class, I expect more hands to go up, number one. And joining the Bhakti Vedanta Book Club is only going, it's only an inspirational program, which is going to inspire you all to read every day. There's going to be a support system, so all of us need a little bit of push. So there's going to be a support system, so everybody's going to be encouraged to read every day. Okay, we don't expect too much time from you, you don't have to come to the temple to, participate in this program. It's at home. All we want is a little commitment from everybody. You're going to read one page, one verse, or half an hour, or 1 hour, or 2 hours, whatever is comfortable for y'all. So it's a very, very easy thing, but we want it on a daily basis. So I guess we're going to see more hands now. We're going to ask the question again.
Who wants to join the Bhaktivedanta Book Club? Please raise your hand. No ladies? Only a few ladies. Okay. There should be more. Okay, so then the men, they should What should they do? Should they contact you?
There are many of us going around with these notebooks.
Okay.
People can give their phone number, their email ID, their name, and what they would like to commit, how much they would like to commit for every day.
Oh, you want to do that much now?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll take a few minutes.
Okay.
Before prashad. On the Mataji side, rather than Kriti Mataji, along with some more Matajis, I've given you 5 notebooks. You can give 4 to some senior Matajis who can take it around. Here are a few of us who go around and take names for you.
Okay. All right then. Anybody have any questions or comments about the class? Yes. Well, there's a science of how to read a book. Okay, first of all, your question was? Should you make notes on what you read and studying? Okay, that's his question. So there's a science of how to read a book. The short answer is yes. You should do that. But generally when you get a book for the first time, you just look through it, you look through it quickly, see the whole thing, get an idea what the book is about, look at the table of contents, skim through it a little bit, then, like an academia, then you might read through the book once, just to skim through it, then the second time, you deeply study it. Now, you may not have time, you may want to do that on the very first shot, but taking notes, as the saying goes, the book that hasn't been written in has not been read. So you write notes in your book. You go in Prabhupada's room in Mayapur. If you look in his own books in his library, you'll see where Prabhupada wrote down in the margin of his books, Bhagavatam, things like that. He would write notes there. Now because it's only so limited amount of space in a book, what I personally do, I've gone through many stages. First, I didn't take any notes at all. Then I had a little notebooks, and then I wrote margins. I would suggest don't underline anything. You write, make a vertical line, Instead of underlining, you make a vertical line because it makes it hard to read. I got one book one time, a secondhand book. Every line was underlined. Oh my God, it's ridiculous. But then in the back of the book you can annotate on that such and such page. This is the point. And you can then look at the back of the book, and any interesting points are there, the page number, and you go to it. You make your own index. And I started doing that, but then I started running out of white paper at the back because they had so many. They only give you like a couple of pages. So I started going to the white paper at the front of the book. Then I was thinking, well, listen, that may not be so good because then if I leave, go someplace and the book is here and I'm gone someplace else. So I started making separate notebooks. Then I had a big stack of notebooks, So then the solution I came up with is I make all my books into PDFs, and then I use Acrobat Professional and I put notes, which you can search. And with a certain voice recognition software, you can actually just dictate your notes right into the PDF. And that way you can search your notes. That's just high tech. But you can just, if you make notes with a PDF, then you can search all your notes. That way, That way you really know your subject, and you can, anything which may have interested you, you could find it quickly. For example, I'm currently reading Mahabharata. You might be surprised to know that previously Brahmins were allowed to drink. But then a certain incident took place, now they're not allowed to drink. You had a question, Prabhu? That's not a type of karma, that's just... That's a whole other subject. That's a whole other discussion. A whole other discussion about fate, free will, and the law of karma. Those are not types of karma. Those are actions. Any other questions? Can you give him a microphone? Microphone? Do we have a microphone? Or a shout. Love. The person Bhagavatam and the book Bhagavatam. Okay, for example, suppose a lady, yes, one example, suppose a lady becomes a devotee, right? Now, should she be emulating Bhima or she should be emulating Draupadi? You know? The person develops the qualities associated with those elevated devotees. But ladies should follow in the lines of the lady Bhagavatas. You know, Yashoda, Draupadi, Kunti, Devaki, and the men, they can, according to their varna, they can emulate the others. But the point is the main thing is all of the Bhagavatas have certain features. They're totally surrendered to the Lord. And there was also one incident in Puri when Swarup Damodar was the secretary of Lord Chaitanya, and he would many people would want to come and see Lord Chaitanya with questions, or they wrote poetry or they wrote dramas like that. So Lord Chaitanya didn't want to see them because they might do something which was rasa basa. So Swarup Damodar's duty was to screen out these kind of people. So one day one pundit came, he had written some poem describing, you know, so many different things and describing how there's the movable Brahma and the immovable Brahma. They wrote that the Daru Brahman was immovable and so Swarup Damodar got heavily on his case that you don't know anything. You've done all these things which are contradictory to rasa, and because you haven't studied the Bhagavatam. You should study the Bhagavatam with a person who has immersed themselves totally in the Bhagavatam. That they are the personification of the Bhagavatam. Like that's a book Bhagavatam and a person Bhagavatam. Who is living their life according to the Bhagavatam. And have their understanding is also according to the Bhagavatam. Their Siddhanta, the conclusion, is the same as that of the Bhagavatam. Because there are many sadhus who are vegetarians. But, you know, Shankaracharya was a sadhu, but he's not a Bhagavata. His philosophy is not Bhagavata. Shankaracharya himself might be, because he's the incarnation of Lord Shiva, but his message is not according to Siddhanta. He was a hidden devotee, Shankaracharya. Or Lord Buddha. His philosophy is totally atheistic, but he was a sadhu. Many sadhus who we don't want to follow, because they haven't got the correct Siddhanta, or they're on a different level. It's like if you're studying, they may be teaching they may be teaching sub-religious principles, which are, to somebody who is lower than them, is a progressive, but for somebody, it's like if you're taking a differential calculus, then to study, arithmetic is not a progress. That's something you should have done a long time ago. But for somebody who's in kindergarten, studying arithmetic, that is progress. But not if you're studying tensor analysis or differential equations, then just doing 2 plus 2 is 4 is not advancement. Any other questions? Alright then. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj Ki Jai. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now I think it's time for the announcements.